All right, so thank you very, very much for having me again. I've been here once or twice before, and I've always really enjoyed it, and you've been very kind in having me again and welcoming me. So thank you very much. And I bring you, obviously, the greetings from Mount Pleasant and Maesu Cymru as well. And if you don't mind, I'll take yours back to them. And I'll say that you said hello. All right.
Hello.
Hello. There you go. There you go. All right. So you're going through a series in the names of God, aren't you? Is Jehovah Rohi the first one you've done? No. What other ones have you done?
Nissi.
Nissi, yeah. Any others?
Jireh.
There you are. Jireh is a good one. There's lots of names around there. We've come to Jehovah Rohi today. But what does it mean? We've got the Lord is my shepherd. But what does that mean? What do Christians mean when they say, the Lord is my shepherd? And where does that name come from? Can you think of any places in Scripture where the Lord is called a shepherd? There's a really easy one we've sung already. Psalm 23, isn't it? You've got in the reading, John 10. But it comes up earlier. It comes up even in Genesis, where the Lord is called a shepherd. And it comes up in Revelation, where the Lord is called a shepherd. Beginning and the end of the Bible, and it is scattered all the way through, where the Lord is called the shepherd of his people. And it culminates to its clearest and its highest and its most glorious expression in the person of Jesus Christ, who is called the Good Shepherd. Every single gospel writer, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, frames Jesus Christ as the shepherd of his people. When Jesus was here, walking on this earth, he claimed to be the fulfillment of lots of prophecies in the Old Testament, that God would send a shepherd for his people. And when the Lord Jesus died, buried, raised again, and went into heaven to be with the Father forever, the apostles that were left here, the 12 disciples and so forth, they all said that Jesus was a shepherd. And they describe him as a shepherd. Got it in Hebrews and Peter, Revelation, as we mentioned, John talks about it. They all talk about Jesus as the shepherd of his people. So we're going to look at Psalm 23 together now to drill into that a little bit. But before we do, we just need to appreciate some of the background to this name. Why the Lord is called a shepherd, and how it comes that the Lord Jesus is the peak of that expression, Jehovah Rohi. Before anyone came up with the idea of calling the Lord a shepherd, they were shepherds. Shepherds came first in that sense, and thinking about it, who was the first shepherd in Scripture that you can think of? Abel, thank you, Abel. And I dare say Abel learned it from his dad, perhaps, I don't know. But very early on, you've got these shepherds, really, really early on, Abel being the first one. Now, what are shepherds like? Now, bear in mind, nobody is, as far as we know, called the Lord a shepherd yet. They've just got shepherds on the earth. And what do they see the shepherds are like? What do shepherds do? Well, they look after sheep. That's what they do. They shepherd. Shepherd's a doing word. Is it a verb? I mix those up, adjectives, verbs. They shepherd sheep. They look after them. They care for them. They protect them. They defend them. And we'll keep coming back to these four words which summarize it. So if you're making notes, write these down. Shepherds are present. They provide. They protect. And they guide. I couldn't get four P's, so I tried to make it rhyme. They're present, provide, protect, and guide. So when people were looking at their shepherds and they saw what they were like, they started then to look at their kings, the people that ruled over them. And they said, these kings, they're a bit like shepherds. They're here for us, they provide for us, they protect and defend us, and they guide us. And so it wasn't long before people started to call their kings shepherds. And there's lots of interesting ancient archaeology stuff. People dig stuff up all the time, and it talks about kings and shepherds and things like that. And you can see some of it in the British Museum. It's all very interesting. So it's no surprise, really, that before long, the living God, our God, the King of Kings, began to be called Jehovah Rohi. Who was the first person in the Bible to call the Lord their shepherd, you know? This is a good one, isn't it? Jacob, look at that, top points there. If you turn with me to Genesis 48, we'll read it. Genesis 48 and verse 15. Now, different translations will put it slightly differently. Genesis 48 and verse 15. Jacob is speaking. Jacob blesses Joseph, that's his grandson, and said, Joseph is his son, isn't it? The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. And then he starts speaking about this angel, which is very interesting as well, but I mustn't get distracted. So Jacob calls the Lord his shepherd. So here we have then these early Christians, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their children, wandering like lost sheep in the wilderness. They lived in tents, didn't they? And they all called the Lord their shepherd. They were shepherds themselves, which is quite interesting. They knew what it was like to protect and be there and provide and guide sheep. And they said, just as we are looking after these sheep, the Lord looks after us. He is our shepherd. When we are alone, he is with us. When we are in need, he provides. When we are vulnerable, he protects us. When we don't know where to go, he guides us. So when you and I call the Lord our shepherd, if we are Christians, we are tapping into an ancient heritage. A very old faith when we call the Lord our shepherd. Our life on this planet is like wandering around like lost sheep sometimes, isn't it? Don't know where to go or what to do. We're always looking for greener grass. And the Lord is our shepherd, just as he is a shepherd to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, this idea was really ingrained, wasn't it, into culture. People called their kings shepherds. They called their shepherds shepherds, presumably. People called their gods shepherds. But it was especially ingrained in the fathers of the faith here. And it really comes into its own, not in Genesis, but Exodus. In the Exodus, we have the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd, who leads Israel out of Egypt like a shepherd leads sheep. Here's another good verse for you. Jude and verse 5. Jude's just got one chapter. So Jude and verse 5. See if I actually remembered that rightly. Yep. Jude 5, again in the ESV, I've got, I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt. So here we have the Lord Jesus already as a good shepherd leading his people out of Egypt. And the Old Testament, the Psalms, the prophets, they all describe the events of the Exodus as God leading his people out of Egypt like a shepherd. They say he was present with them in the pillar of cloud and fire. He provided for them. Remember the manna and the quail. He made them food and he brought water out of a rock. And when they had enemies all around them, he protected them from them. And when they walked through the desert, they feared no evil because he was with them, guiding them all the way home. So is it any surprise at all then that the Lord is called Jehovah Rohi? The Lord is my shepherd. This is our timeless faith. It was good that we prayed a moment ago, didn't we? Thanking the Lord that the gospel came to us in our country. And it reached us at one point. And we have been grafted in to an ancient faith an ancient understanding of God as our Father in heaven and as God as our shepherd. And so we can sit there with Jacob, and if you like, we share this speech bubble. Us, Jacob, Isaac, Abraham, we all have one speech bubble, and we all say together, "The Lord is our shepherd." And we're saying the same thing about the same person. It is the same Lord who shepherded them, who shepherds us, his Christians, all the way through our lives to that great, wonderful sheepfold in the sky, where we will be with the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, forever. So that's some background then to this phrase, this wonderful name, "The Lord is our shepherd," where it comes from, and some of the things that it means. Now, these things all come together in Psalm 23. So turn with me there. Psalm 23. We have David here. He's a king, but he's also a shepherd. Do you remember? David started out as a shepherd and became a king. And he gathers all that has gone before him about what is said about the Lord as our shepherd. And he puts it in one psalm which perfectly describes the Lord as his shepherd and ours. We're going to read it now, but before we do, let me just prime you. We're going to see now the presence, provision, protection and guidance of the shepherd that David is describing here. And at each point, we're going to recognize their culmination in the Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, and David's. So let me read Psalm 23 to you. A psalm of David. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." First of all, then, let's look at how the Lord is present here for David. In verse 2, 4, and 6, you can see there, looking there, that the Lord is present. Now, I don't know if anyone here are faithful followers of Shaun the Sheep on telly. Do you ever watch Shaun the Sheep? Yeah? If you've got kids, you know what we're talking about. You've got this sheep made of plasticine or Play-Doh or whatever, and he's always getting into all sorts of trouble and hijinks and all sorts of nonsense because the shepherd is always absent. The shepherd's off doing something else with the pigs, or he's sleeping late or whatever it is, and while the shepherd is gone, the sheep get up to all sorts of nonsense. And this is where David is talking about the Lord being present. Being present. And the difference that that makes. Think about it. Where is David when he writes Psalm 23? There's one clue there in verse 4. "When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." It's been suggested, and I don't think it's a wild suggestion, that David wrote this when he was in exile, not allowed to come near his own city, though he was the king. He's in the desert. He's cast out. He's in the wilderness. That's where David is. Where is the Lord? He's with him. Although David was cast out, although David is in the valley of the shadow of death, although David is in the wilderness with the wild animals surrounded by all sorts of threats, although he's in the worst place, the lowest place, that's where the Lord is too. He's with him. He's present. Now, many of us know what it's like to be in dark places in life, even perhaps the same places that David knew, the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe you've been there yourself. But the Lord being our shepherd means that he's with us even there. Some of you might know the poem Footprints or have it up on your wall somewhere. I think is probably one of the cringiest, cheesiest things I've ever read. But there's something really lovely about it, because it describes a man walking down a beach and seeing two sets of footprints going through the sand that represent him and the Lord Jesus going through life together. And he sees that the most difficult parts of his life, there's one set of footprints. And perplexed, he asks the Lord why he was left alone, and the Lord clarifies, "I carried you through those hardest times." Now, as cheesy as that is, it's wonderfully true as well, that the Lord does carry us through these things. And even in the darkest periods, such as the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is with his people as a shepherd. He does not leave us. Have you had that experience? Do you know what it's like for the Lord to be with you, even through the darkest times, the most difficult times? Sometimes realizing it's only the case when you look back and say, "The Lord was with me in that darkest time." Well, if you don't know what it's like for the Lord to be present with you when you're in trouble, you're about to hear all about it in December. Because Christmas is coming, and you'll hear from this church and from others about when the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus, came from heaven, took flesh, became a man, and lived here to be with us, to be present with us. We were wandering like lost sheep going astray, looking for greener grass, looking for meaning of life, looking for light, looking for something that's going to make me smile and keep the smile there. Something, anything, I don't know, looking for God. Some of you know what that's like in your own life, to always be looking for greener grass like a lost sheep. But this is where the Lord comes in. He came to us in that condition. When we were lost in the darkness, wondering what's going on, what's life all about, why are things so difficult, where is God in all of this, and he comes to us. The Lord Jesus himself is the Good Shepherd, present among us. Listen to how the Apostle John puts it. In John chapter 1, you'll hear this at Christmas time as well. He talks about the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, coming into the world, and he says, "The Word became flesh," that's the Lord Jesus, "became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, for all of our experience of God being with us like a shepherd when we're in trouble or darkness, this must always top that list. That Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save those who are lost. When you think about the Lord being a shepherd, and you say, that means he's with me in trouble, that comes first. That the Lord Jesus came into the world to seek and to save. Having talked about the Lord being present with him, David can talk about the Lord providing for him as his good shepherd. You get that in verse 1, where he says, "I shall not want." That means I don't need anything. You get it in verse 2, where the Lord makes him to lie down in green pastures, like a sheep. And in verse 5, even when he's surrounded by enemies, the Lord prepares a table for him, where he can sit down and eat. Who is David? If you met David, you wouldn't call him Dave, would you? King David. He's king. He could have anything he wants, and he'll have it, whatever he wants. Yet, King David says that all of his provision comes from the Lord. He doesn't say, "I am the king, I shall not want." He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know, there's a great prophet called John the Baptist, and he said that everything that we have in life comes from God. And he's right. That's why we thank him in prayer as we did, because everything that we have comes from him. Now, does anyone in here have toddlers or remember having toddlers who won't eat? Whatever you put in front of them, whether it's green or whether it's chocolate, whatever, they just won't eat it. And sometimes they get in these moods. What do you do in those times? Well, you find a way to make them eat it. What about toddlers that won't sleep? It'll only go so long, you find a way to make them sleep. You can tell I haven't had a baby yet. What about spouses who won't rest? Sometimes we just refuse what we know is good for us, thinking that we know better. But look what David says in verse 2 about the Lord his shepherd who provides for him. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. When we will not, he makes us lie down and he provides for all of our needs. I don't know about you, but I find that really stirring. That our God, our Lord Jesus, our Good Shepherd is unlike any other God, any other king who would take you and he would take from you and he'd have you stand up and work and do all these things and serve him and achieve things for him or to do something. But the Lord Jesus, he makes you lie down and he provides for all of your needs. Do you know what it's like for the Lord to meet all of your needs? It's a fact that he does. John the Baptist says so, that everything that we have comes from him. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But do you see it? Do you recognize it? Can you see that fact and say, yes, that's true? You know, our God, who is our shepherd, cares for us, body and soul. All of us. He cares for us. How does he do that? Can you think of any instances, perhaps in the life of Jesus, where he cared for the body and the soul? There's lots and lots and lots. A good one might be, you know, the paralytic let through the ceiling, do you remember? He says, your sins are forgiven, caring for his soul. And then he heals him and he walks out. So there's lots of instances like that. But let me give you this one. I'll read you this verse from Mark 6, where the Lord is looking out at this crowd. And it says, let's see if I can find it here. Here we are. Mark 6, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. That's Mark 6, 30-odd. Here's Jesus. He's looking at this massive crowd. He says, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And then he feeds all of them. The 5,000 that were there, and plus the extras. He fed them all, caring for their bodies. Do you know what happened the next day? The next day, they catch up with him, and he teaches them some more. Having cared for their bodies like a shepherd providing for sheep, this is what the Lord Jesus says to them the day after. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He's speaking about himself. And he says again in the same section, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. So there's David talking about the Lord, his shepherd, who meets all of his needs, who provides everything that he ever needs, cares for him, body and soul. And then into the world breaks the Lord Jesus Christ, the presence of God among us, and he provides for us. He feeds all the people that he comes across, and he gives even his own self, his own body, to provide for us. That's what we're talking about when we say that the Lord is our shepherd who provides for us, first and foremost, most gloriously, in his Son who gives his own body for us. We're going to take communion soon, and that could not be a more vivid reminder that the Lord Jesus Christ has given his own body and his own blood to sustain us to eternal life. So here's the Lord, our shepherd, who is present with us. He provides for us, chiefly in Jesus Christ, coming into the world and giving his own self for us. And we're winding down now with protection. Present, provide, protect. In verse 4 and 5 of Psalm 23. Now, if anyone knows anything about protection, David is your man. He's a shepherd protecting sheep when he's just a little boy from wolves and lions and bears and the works. When he gets older, he could not be more cool. He's a mercenary. He's hired out by different clients to do different jobs, whether it's raiding or protecting. He's a fugitive who needs his own little crew around him to keep him safe. And then later he's king and is surrounded by bodyguards. If anyone knows anything about protection, it's David. But he says that all of this protection is down to the Lord. Not down to Joab, not down to Jonathan, not down to Saul, not down to himself and his own strength. But when he was against lions, bears, Goliath, the king, when he was against the Philistines, and all the people that came against him in his life, he said, it's the Lord who delivers me. Do you remember what he said to Saul when he was about to face Goliath? In 1 Samuel 17, David is speaking there and he says, the Lord's delivered me from lions and bears and wolves and the works. He's going to deliver me from Goliath as well. But what happens when David gets to verse 4 of Psalm 23? When he comes to the valley of the shadow of death, who's going to protect him then? Giants and wild animals is one thing. Bandits and baddies. What about death? My wife is pregnant, so we have to start doing grown-up things like looking at life cover and income protection and all that sort of stuff. And it's apparently you can insure against anything. Somebody's going to take your money to protect you from everything. But you can't insure against death. Who's going to protect you from death? David says that he does not fear any enemy, not even death, because he knows that he has the Lord for his shepherd. Now, either he's totally insane, or he's right. If the Lord is his shepherd, he doesn't even fear death. He says that the Lord doesn't merely protect my body and protect my soul even from death, but he says he restores my soul. He revives my soul. I'm better off in my soul. Now, this is an easy question. Where do we see the protection of the Lord our shepherd in the life of Jesus? When does Jesus do his greatest work of protecting his people? Well, of course, we all hurry straight to the cross. We say at the cross. That's where Jesus does his greatest work of protection. But how? What do you mean? How is it that the cross, where Jesus Christ was made his most vulnerable, how can that mean protection for you and me? It's an easy answer to say at the cross, but how does the cross mean that Jesus Christ protects us? We had a clue in our reading in John 10. Jesus is describing what it's like to be a shepherd. And he says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. Jesus says there that as the good shepherd, he's going to stand in between his sheep and danger. His sheep and the threat. So what is it at the cross of Calvary, that thing which most represents Christianity, that Christians will wear on their neck or tattoo on themselves and decorate their church with? What is it about the cross that means that Jesus Christ protects his sheep? What is the danger that he stands in front of? What is it that he stands between us and some sort of threat, some sort of danger? What is it that he saves us from? It's not lions or bears or the normal threats that come the way of sheep. It's not wolves. This is what the prophet Isaiah says about the cross. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, on the Lord Jesus, the iniquity, the sin of us all. The Lord Jesus on the cross put himself between us and the consequences of our sin. You see, because of our waywardness, because we're like sheep who are stupid and thick, need a shepherd, who are always getting lost and falling off cliff edges, because of our sin in which we wander from God, we wander into sin, we earn punishment because of the things that we do. The things that spring up from our heart, sin, it earns punishment, even death. But you see, God so loves this world that he gave Jesus to be a good shepherd, to be present among us when we needed him, to provide for us when we needed him, to lay his life down and protect us from the wrath of God on our sin. That's the protection of the good shepherd, that in going to the cross, he stands between us and the punishment that we have earned on our own sin. My time is gone, so let me finish quickly with guide. Present, provide, protect, and guide. You get that in verses 3 and 6, especially in Psalm 23, but really, it's the whole thing. When we read through it, did you notice any direction? There's a starting point and a finishing point in the psalm. David is on a little journey. Where does he start and where does he end? He starts in the desert where he would otherwise be in want. He starts in the valley of the shadow of death, in the wilderness, in exile. And he ends, verse 12, in the house of the Lord, forever and ever. Listen to me. When the Lord is your shepherd, you are led like a sheep through the wilderness all the way home. And that journey is called the Christian life, in which Jesus Christ will constantly, every moment of every day, prove himself to you to be your good shepherd, and he will never let you down. Where's the first place that you're led? If you're a sheep in the hands of God, who is our good shepherd, where's the first place he will take you? He will take you and he will make you lie down at the foot of the cross, where we will see Jesus Christ, his own Son, crucified for us. We will see him nailed there, present, where we need him. We'll see him there providing his own body, his own blood, for the forgiveness of our sins. We'll see him standing between us and threat, protecting us, his sheep. Have you seen that? Do you get it? Is the cross still some sort of cerebral intellectual exercise where you're trying to understand all the isms about it and why Christians go on about it so much? Or have you seen it with the eye of faith? Do you believe that this is the truth? That Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd given by the Father to save his people? What happens once we've seen Christ on the cross as our Good Shepherd? Then what, David? Because the Christian life doesn't end at the cross, it starts at the cross, doesn't it? That's the first place he takes you. What then? Let me ask you this question, this was easy. What do sheep do to shepherds? They follow them. If you want the Lord Jesus as your shepherd, and I trust you do after you've heard the wonderful things he can do, then you'd better make like a sheep and follow him. That means trusting him, obeying him, submitting to him, speaking with him often. It means living all of life with both eyes fixed on him and running every word and every thought and every deed and every decision through that filter of what would my shepherd think of this? It means following after him. And when we're following him, we'll find that he will guide us, verse 12, to the house of the Lord, to be with him forever and ever. Where there'll be no more enemies, we'll be forever with the Lord, guided by the hand of God. Let me read to you to actually finish. That's one of the privileges of being a preacher. You can say, I'm finishing now, as much as you like. John 10, verse 27, and then I'll pray and hand back over. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ever bless you for being our shepherd and for giving us your own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save us from our sin. We thank you for the provision that he has made of his body and his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And we ask you, Lord, for the faith that is necessary to believe in him and be saved from all of our sin. In his name we ask these things. Amen. Thank you.